So somebody just asked a very good question. When it comes to the koshering of the counters, so what do you use? So the truth is, because you're pouring water and you're not immersing anything in the kettle, so then it really doesn't matter. You could use a Pesach Dikah tea kettle and it wouldn't require koshering again. And you could use also a Chametz Dikah tea kettle that hasn't been used in the past 24 hours. So either one is an option. So that takes care of the counter.
So tile, you have to cover up.
All right. So if it's plastic, which is formica, or tile is considered like cheres.
Two layers of contact paper?
Yeah, so that's the thing, is you want to make sure that you don't have the liquid going through one layer. So the corrugated plastic. Zach, what do you buy the corrugated plastic? What do you get that?
From Depot.
And how do you cut it?
Scissors.
Is it hard to cut?
No.
I think it's called Masonite board or Mason board, and I've gone to it's Animal. I don't know the other name for it, but I just gave them the measurements of my counter, what I wanted, and they cut the board for me, and then I put contact paper over that.
Very good. What would you use again?
Masonite, maybe.
Okay, let's move on to the sink. The sink is very important. Now, if your sink is made out of metal, so the sink is going to be the same as the counter. So then we say is also iri kli rishon. So what you're going to do is take the kettle. They say first to do the faucet. Do the faucet first. And they say also to turn on the hot water, because you want to try to simulate exactly how, you know, the worst case scenario, how the faucet was used with chametz. So you had maybe hot water running, you were washing dishes, and then chametz, you know, sprayed onto the faucet. So that's how you want to purge it. So do the faucet first. Now, if it's stainless steel, you can kosher it. If it's a china porcelain sink, then you can't kosher it. Then you're going to have to cover it with thick foil. You're going to have to put a dish rack underneath, and you're going to also have to use a dish pan. And there's no other way around it. You cannot use it. You can't kosher the sink.
Cover it with not just contact paper.
The sink?
Yeah.
It could be contact paper or foil.
I find that when I, halfway through Pesach, the water's getting under the contact paper and then coming up.
Right. That's why you need also the dish rack and the
dish pan. An insert is enough on top of the contact paper.
Right. If you have the dish rack and the dish pan, hopefully you're separating the water from the dishes, coming from the sink, meaning from underneath the foil. Yeah, it's not easy if you don't have a metal sink. But if you have a metal sink, a stainless steel sink, so then it's the same thing. Then you would pour the hot water first. Have to let it remain idle without any use of hot water. So they say, because people tend to forget, either you have to tape over the sink or you turn off on underneath the sink the hot water valve. And that way, even if somebody tries, there's no hot water. Cold water wouldn't be an issue. It's clean. You scour the sink. And then you pour the hot water over the faucet as the water is running. Now, some say you should replace the aerator. I mean, this is where it gets a little tedious. You know, I have to go buy an aerator. You know, I'm not a plumber. If I'm going to be able to get it on tight enough. You have to kosher the spout. What I also do is I add bleach afterwards. Bleach is very good because bleach is pogame. So even if there's a particle of chametz, so then what did I do? I rendered it totally inedible. So I do that also. I personally do not take off the aerator. You could, but I'm not sure you have to. But you do have to have the water go on the underside of the faucet, and you do the handles, even though you probably don't have to do the handles, but you do the handles as well and the base of the faucet. Now your faucet's done. To do the sink, it's going to take a lot of water, because you want to make sure, again, that you're getting every square inch, and it's a direct. It's not that the water is flowing, it's that it's a direct pour. So it's going to take some time. You'll have to use a few kettles, if not, and you have to keep the water boiling. So that takes care of the kitchen, the counter, and the stovetop, and the oven. The refrigerator doesn't have to be koshered, it has to be cleaned, and that's a big deal because, you know, it has food in it. The big question is, do you have to line your refrigerator? So some say you do, some say you don't. If you do, you have to be careful that there's good air circulation. When I was a kid, we lined it and the refrigerator broke. You know, so we don't line it. Rabbi Heinemann says that you don't have to line the refrigerator. So, but you do have to make sure that it's very clean. The reason why you don't have to line it is because you don't put food directly on the on the shelves. If you put it directly without any canopy, without any wrapping, or without any whatever, if it's in a pot or a container, so then it would be more of a need to line it. Then you would have to line it. But if you always use a container or something where the food's not directly there, so then you clean it very well, and that's the refrigerator.
You say line, do you mean just cover the shelves, or do you actually line the walls of the refrigerator?
The shelves. I don't think you have to line the walls. The shelves. So that's the refrigerator. Microwaves, let's just talk about microwaves for a moment. Microwaves is tricky. It gets into the plastic issue. If you don't kosher plastic, and the microwave has plastic inside, so you can't kosher it. Rabbi Heinemann says that the issue is, does it get hot? Maybe your microwave, the walls don't get hot. So he says, actually, you should do a test. And I never did this test, because to me, it's just not worth the effort. I'd rather either buy a microwave for Pesach, or just not use a microwave for the few days of Chol HaMoed that you could use a microwave. But he says that this is your test to see if your walls get hot. You take a potato, an open potato, and you wait till it steams. So you're actually cooking in your microwave. And after it has been cooked, you should place your hand on the ceiling of the microwave to see if it has become too hot to touch. So that's Rabbi Hirsch, the Yazzoletis test. So if it got hot that you can't keep your hand there for 15 seconds, so then we say the microwave has absorbed chametz, and then he says that you can't kosher it. So basically he's saying the only way you could use your microwave is if you can assume that it never got hot. And that means that you have to go through the test. Other sages don't bother with any tests. Don't kosher your microwave. To be honest with you, I don't remember what the CRC... I think the CRC said that you can't kosher it. The OU says, for those who kosher plastic. Now, this is a way you can kosher your microwave during the year. Sometimes you have a mishap where... You should really have two microwaves, by the way. One for milchik and one for fleishik. Because it's really hard to keep the oven kosherous otherwise. It's a small area to work within, and there's always spills. And it's just, you have to have two. But assuming that you made a mistake and you put something milchik in the fleishik or vice versa, so the way to kosher is you have to clean it, and you have to clean the area where the fan is, and then you have a cup of water and you let it create a thick steam. Because then we say that it's plastic and it can be koshered. And even if it's not plastic, you replace the tray, the glass tray. So maybe it's, even if there's some other material, you're not cooking on the walls, so it's no different than maybe... I don't know the interior of every microwave. Do they make them out of porcelain?
No.
It's always plastic. So if it's only a plastic issue, and the issue is the steam, so then you can kosher it with steam. But we just mean kabbalo kachpolta. The way it went in was with steam, so then steam can be used to get it out. But it's not something that you can do for Pesach.
So let's say you do the water steam method, because you can, it doesn't get so hot. And should you still cover everything in the microwave during Pesach?
I mean, if the walls don't get hot? So then you have to replace the tray.
Can you cover the tray?
Yeah, you could. I mean, it's no different than...
cover the food.
They say also to cover the food. See, he doesn't talk about it. His opinion, Rabbi Forster, is to not do it. But Rabbi Eider talked about it. And in his day, he wrote this in 1985, so he was talking about a microwave, they were relatively new, and he talks about the idea of the steam, and he says you can only do this if it's lined with stainless steel, which I don't think they do anymore, right? So he says it is questionable whether those that are lined with plastic, porcelain, or enamel can be koshered for Pesach. So then he says the complete interior, if it's plastic and the like, should be covered, and one may cook in them by placing food, pots, and dishes in closed plastic containers. So they do say it should be covered. To me, practically speaking, I would just buy a microwave for Pesach if it's that important. But Rabbi Heinemann, this was again in 1985, Rabbi Heinemann is saying is that you can't even get started unless it doesn't get hot, the walls don't get hot. If the walls don't get hot, then you don't have to line it. But you do have to replace the glass plate. A Keurig is basically the same issue as because of the plastic. If you kosher plastic, you could kosher a Keurig. But if you don't kosher plastic, which I subscribe that you don't kosher plastic, that's the majority of the postcom. I think the CRC, it's very interesting, they're going out on a limb. I just was curious, like, why would they want to say, you know, cover your knobs for your oven, but you can kosher plastic. Like, don't worry about the knobs, but I wouldn't kosher. But Ramosha said you can't kosher plastic for Pesach.
What about toaster oven?
Toaster oven also. These things are, they're too hard to clean. It gets into those areas of the cleaning, so it's hard to kosher. If you could clean them well, so then you would be able to kosher it like you would kosher. The only thing is with toaster oven, you put the food directly on the, typically on the rack. So then you would have to cover it twice by a toaster oven. So that's the Keurig. The Keurig is the same as a coffee maker. So you can't kosher the coffee maker if it's plastic. If it's not plastic, so then you can kosher it. You can replace the what's it called? The carafe? What's it called, that thing? K-R-A-F-E?
Carafe.
You replace that. Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of comments get under my oven, like under my stove.
Right.
What do I have to do?
Can you move your oven?
Not really.
So there's a halacha, it's a very good question. There's certain places in the house where you just can't move it. It's just too heavy or it just doesn't move. What am I supposed to do? Should I move my water heater? Maybe there's plumbers under the water heater. Should I call a plumber, detach it, detach the gas? So if it's considered avuda mimenu mikol adam, that is considered that no one's going to get to it, it's just not going to happen, you were mavatal it, you probably could say it was sold also, you covered all your bases, so then you don't have to worry about it. If you really can't move it, like moving washing machines and dryers.
Like, I moved my washing machine and I totally ripped up the linoleum on my floor.
Right, so you're really not obligated to. You're not obligated to. The SodaStream machine, I put that in the paragraph about the shear. So we have one. I never use it, but you can use it for flavored soda. So the flavor's added after you carbonate the water, if I'm not mistaken. So those bottles, those plastic bottles that store the soda with the flavors, so that you wouldn't be able to use. But if all you did was use it for water, for seltzer, so then, and it's cold, so technically all you have to do is clean it. And the problem, though, is that if those bottles are around chametz, so then maybe you shouldn't use those bottles. And so they were washed, if they were washed with chametz, that's always, even if they weren't around chametz, but they were washed with chametz, so then you would have to replace the bottles. But the SodaStream machine itself, the CO2 is not an issue, the cartridges, you just clean it, and theoretically you could use it with clean bottles. Any questions?
If you have a disposal in your sink and there's rubber...
Right, so they say after you kosher the sink, you should also pour boiling water where the disposal is so that you can get the boiling water too. And I would say also pour some bleach down there. Just remember the bleach. It's a good trick. It's po game. It basically renders whatever's there inedible for a dog, which is the status of non-chametz when it comes to Pesach.
Probably replace those little.
The strainers have to be replaced, because remember you can't kosher a strainer. So you should have a kosher Pesach strainer. You put it away with your Pesach utensils, and you take it out once a year. Anything else?
Well, 409 has like bleach in it. Is that satisfactory, or does it need to be full strength 409? For bleach?
For the down the sink?
For anything, when you're saying use bleach, can I use 409?
I guess it depends on the concentration. It probably is po game, but like once you're po game, I go 100 proof. I use the bleach. I use the bleach.
Why can't you clean your granite counter with bleach?
Well, it wouldn't kosher it. It cleans it. It doesn't kosher it. Remember, kabolo kach polta. You have to get it out the way it went in. So that's all. That's why steam by itself is not enough. Joe?
Hot plate
really should not be koshered. Should not be koshered for Pesach, they say. Because I guess food spills on it and you can't really get it hot enough to kosher it. It's more like a... I guess you could. You know, covering is always an option, because that goes back to this very, very cardinal principle of shtei kederos, that you can't have transfer if you have two layers. So that is an option. The question, though, is you know, is it worth it for Pesach, the chumrah of chametz, are the two layers going to remain intact? how important is this appliance? Can I replace it? And then I'll own something for Pesach and I won't have to. It's like with the urn. You know, the urn really should be a non-issue. What goes in the urn? Water. So, well, you'll say, but sometimes it's on the counter where hummus is, and maybe, you know, they're splashing, and the outside of the urn is plastic, but that's not the inside. So, you know, to me, the easiest option is to replace it. Does that mean that you can't kosher it? So even, I found him to be a little bit more on the machmer side, Rabbi Forst. I appreciated the way he couched it. I mean, he had a certain philosophy that it's 1 week out of the year, and you know, sometimes you have to just accept the fact that not everything can be koshered, or you can't have every appliance the way you have it the rest of the year. But this is what he says about the hot water urn. Since the Shabbos hot water urn is generally not used with chametz, it should be sufficient to simply clean the urn thoroughly, right? Like, it's only water. And the spout can be koshered. You can take it off, and even though it's plastic, it's still here. We're a little more lenient. We would put it in a kli rishon, and we would be done. The problem is that it's on the counter in close proximity to hummus foods, and maybe hummus food was actually warmed on it. I'm not sure we do that, but possibly. So basically, he says, since it is difficult to kosher an urn with Haggalah, you know, so once you consider that you do have to kosher it with, on some level because of spills, and it's right there the whole year, were you watching it 52 weeks out of the year every day to make sure what was happening to it, that it was not coming in contact with chametz in any way, shape, or form. So he says, you should buy one for Pesach. If it's difficult, so then you should consult a rabbi. So I always say you might as well buy one and then you have it for Pesach as opposed to having to go through the process of Haggalah.
How about a warming drawer?
It's interesting. Metal. This is also where the CRC. So the problem with the warming drawer is it doesn't get hot on its own.
Right.
So all of the organizations, the Star K and I believe the OU also, but definitely Rabbi Forst, we'll call it that, we said the art scroll, and here the OU, typically warming drawers do not get to Lieben Kal temperature. So how are you going to kosher it? So you know what? The CRC, I don't know if they felt that they had to be on the cutting edge or something. They said, oh, we have a way to kosher the warming drawer. That you buy the things that you use for the chafing dishes. So the sterno cans. And you put it inside, and be sure that you use a can fueled with ethanol or methanol. All right, something that was with cans that use diethylene glycol as a fuel should not be used for koshering. You leave the door of the warming drawer slightly ajar so there will be enough air because you need oxygen, otherwise it's not going to be able to burn. Right? And then you can use it. So, like, I thought to myself, I'm going to sound cynical, but, like, you know, everyone else is saying don't use it for a week and you have to come up with a way to, you know. So, if you want to rely on the CRC, that's their method. You have to clean it thoroughly. It's leave them call. You have to make sure that you, the food never touches directly, right?
Right. But
and you have to make sure also that you wait 24 hours.
Right.
And then, and they're saying that's how you'll get to the heat.
A double layer of foil? Line it with a double layer of foil?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why that wouldn't work.
It's also covered.
Yeah, if you really, remember, according to Ramosha, you can't kosher an oven. Before the day of self-cleaning ovens, you can't kosher an oven. So he said what they used to do is that people used to buy a metal insert, like a box, a metal box, and it was inside the oven. I don't know how they were able to regulate the temperature, you know, but or to line the oven. So yeah, you should be able to double line a warming drawer also.
I have a broiler inside my oven, not like below my oven.
Say it again?
In the good old days, you had a broiler under your
right.
oven. I have a broiler in my oven.
Right.
So when I do my self-cleaning,
your broiler's okay.
So can I use it?
The broiler pan.
No, not broiler pan, just broiler.
Yeah, go on.
All right, good.
Yeah, when the broiler used to be like that drawer that was underneath that you opened up, I remember as a kid, the problem was you couldn't clean it well. It was very hard to clean. That was the issue. Two more questions. Alexander, what were you saying before?
How can you line up the top of the warming drawer? You can put the foil on top.
Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, that's something to consider, Sharon.
Yeah, I guess I could double wrap each thing.
Yeah, you could.
That's even better.
You could. I personally, because of chametz and everything, and the, I would not use it. Is there another thing that you could use, like a warming tray or something like that?
This is like really.
All right, so double wrapping does help.
So how high does the temperature have to be?
How hot does
the temperature have to go? Like I have a smaller, it's not a warming drawer, it's an actual oven on the bottom.
Oh, that's enough.
That's enough?
Yeah. Any other questions?
Sorry if you answered before. I have a tea kettle that's all stainless steel. There's no porcelain or anything else, so I could, and I only use it for water, so can I still just use it, or I have to throw it in a pot and kosher it?
You have to kosher it. You have to make sure it's clean also. And it's a little hard to see inside, but if you're sure that it's clean, then you have to immerse it. You can't kosher it just with water by itself. You have to immerse it and then in another pot, right.
This is a little esoteric. There's a new type of self-cleaning oven. They call it a moist cleaning or wet cleaning. Have you heard anything about whether that we can even use that for anything?
That's funny. I did a lot of research. I didn't see that. I haven't heard of it, so I can't comment.
I almost made a mistake of buying one.
Right. Just in general, when you buy ovens, sub-cleaning is a big advantage, but don't buy glass cooktops. That's a big problem when it comes to kashrus.
Yeah.
So you want to avoid that.
It's obvious, because it doesn't get to this temperature.
People say they replaced it last time.
Because you burn.
Yeah. Can you, it's so easy to do, to replace it. All right, I think we covered the key points of the kitchen. There's always more shilas. It never ends. We could be here for another hour. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. And I wish everybody good luck with their cleaning and koshering. Chag kosher v'sameach.
Thank you.